Hello, this is Roy Thomas, and you're listening to the Power Cosmic Podcast.
That's right, friends. You've been waiting for the podcast that talks about the things you love. Well, go no further, because you've reached the Power Cosmic Podcast. Each week, legendary Comic-Con promoter Mitch Halleck of the Terrific Con and legendary finder of lost things John Cimino of Saturday Morning Collectibles at the Raynham Flea Market, booth A89 and 90, will talk about the stuff you love. Now sit back and talk about comics, TV, movies, toys, and more. It's the Power Cosmic Podcast.
What website?
The Terrific Con website. I was updating the Terrific Con website. It's 100 episodes of this. This is it. This is where it hits the fan.
All right, stop.
All right, we're already rocking and rolling here. All right, 1, 2, 3. Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast, the only Power Cosmic Podcast that's reached 100 episodes. Applause, insert applause here. Joining me for all 100 episodes, or as I like to call them, time you'll wish you had back on your deathbed, the one, the only... John Cimino.
What's up, everybody?
They said it couldn't be done, John. They said we'd kill each other by now. They were wrong.
Yeah, little do they know what happens before we go on the air, how bad we fight not to get on the air.
I know. I'm sitting here today, and I'm updating the Terrific Con website. And I go, geez, it's past 9 o'clock. Isn't John supposed to call him? I only knew you were around because I saw you posting on Facebook. You were hoping I went back to bed, weren't you?
Absolutely. But you know what? Mitch is always, he'll pull through. He's got to get his voice out there. He says, I got to get my voice out there. And here we are.
I do. Most people would say, wow, what an egotistical maniac. He actually runs a podcast, does his own comic book convention, puts his ugly mug everywhere he can. And he thinks that people want to listen to him. But let me tell you, I've seen the numbers. And there are people that do, believe it or not.
Talk about an echo chamber.
Hey. Well, let's tell.
100 episodes. How about it, Mitchie?
Let's tell the people what we originally planned for the 100th episode, just like I originally planned on losing 30 pounds by now. There's a lot of best laid plans of mice and men that don't happen. We were supposed to do a live radio Power Cosmic Records version of Avengers issue 4.
Oh, wait, let me, then Mitch calls me and he says, this is kind of long. So all of a sudden the fandom went to friggin', they're into the back seat, and all of a sudden we're just like, let's just do 100 episodes where we talk business.
No, but I was like, I thought it was all set. I know they found him in the ice and the little sub, but then there's more to that story. I'm like, ugh, I gotta do all the music and the sound effects. Forget that. They don't. What are these people? They don't deserve it.
Yeah, but let our fandom not get too discouraged, because we plan on doing, because we know we've been getting tons of emails, tons of fan letters. It's just that people want more Power Cosmic Records Presents, and maybe we'll give you a treat for the holidays.
Maybe we will do something for the holidays. Hey, you know what this sound is, John? Can you hear that?
Was that one of your intestines falling down? No, is your gallbladder going down the stairs?
No, that sound. That's the sound of clicks. That's the sound of hero clicks.
Oh, I thought that was all the grit in your teeth that you didn't, because you didn't brush yet.
No. I'm playing with my, at this particular point, the Ronan the Accuser hero click. Because fans have been listening to the show, John indoctrinated me a couple weeks ago into the world of WizKids and NECA and their amazing little Hero Clicks figures, which I had no knowledge of. And in the last couple weeks, I've spent a considerable amount of money on getting myself my own Clicks army. And so today's episode, they're going to listen to you and I sit here and play Hero Clicks.
No, we got to play, like, you know, almost like, what was it, pen pal, like, chess, you know, like, they would do a move, and then you would mail it off. That's what we have to do. We have to do, like, a clicks episode. Like, we have to play a game over. I moved it to A square AB.
Yeah, all right, we'll do it, one, but it'll take about 2 years to actually finish a game, but... No, I'm all in. I'm all in now. I'm into the clicks. I'm buying them. I'm going on eBay. It's amazing how cheap they are. And when I say that, it's because, look, if you could tell me that you would be holding a Talon who was in the Guardians of the Galaxy figure in your hands, mind, yeah, maybe it's only an inch tall, but they have the most obscure Marvel references here. I'm looking at Star Fox. I'm looking at Hellcat. I mean, I got some really deep cut.
And what's interesting, Mitch, how obsessed you are of collecting them, because it can get addictive, but we have yet to even play. Our bulletin boards are on Matt Herring's Facebook page. We usually will put our teams, we're going to use Matt Herring's Facebook page as our group, our HeroClix group, yep, discussions, whether he likes it or not.
Yep.
But when you begin to play, to actually play, we will, we're going to get together and actually play, it's going to become even more addictive, because you're going to start figuring out what they do and how everything works. And then it's like, oh, you start using strategy and it can become more of a drug.
Speaking of Alpha Primate, or the Alpha Primitive, Keith Gleason is also part of this fun.
Yes, and has been for many years. And like me and Keith, like, we kind of come, you go, you collect, you do what you like, and then you get out of it. And it's just, but yeah, it always brings me back, because there's so many, they release about maybe six sets a year. So right, it's like, You're just like, oh my God, this, I got to get this guy.
Yep.
I got to get this. And then, no, I don't want to get it anymore. And then all of a sudden another set comes out, and you're like, oh my God.
All right, well, enough of the clicks, because I think people are already tuning out. We could for the 100th episode here, since it's a supersized spectacular.
Yeah.
I have a list here of, we're going to do like a retrospective, like those cheapy clip shows they used to do on TV when they had to fill an episode. They would just go, remember when we first met, and they would go back and stuff. So I've got a list here of... Ooh. I'm going to throw them out to you, and we're going to sit
you
back.
You actually did a list? Mitch, let me ask you.
This is the first time I've ever prepped for this show.
Yeah. Is it written on toilet paper, or is it written on like a little scrap piece of paper?
It is written on a scrap piece of paper, and I wrote it down 2 minutes before the show. But they don't need to see how we make the hot dogs here on the Power Cosmic. Just I was impressed that I actually did that. I was like, hey, if I can find a pen, I'll write something. So I wrote it. I wrote it down here. Now, there's a lot of stuff going on this week. I bought the Spider-Man 800, multiple issues with all that. This week, the Hulk comes back tomorrow. The Immortal Hulk is out in the stands.
Yeah, I think Scott Tucky said he's going to get me an issue number one.
Yeah, Scott Tucky. I just...
Mitch, got to throw out that you... Wait a second. I know we sidestepping HeroClix, but tell him the big stupid thing that you bought.
What, the Fin Fang Foom?
Yeah. How big is your Fin Fang Foom?
My Fin Fang Foom is quite large. It's the green one, not the orange one. And I happen to be dropping off Terrific Con flyers, as I do every weekend across the state of Connecticut and Massachusetts and New York. This guy had a collection of HeroClix, and I was looking for the Galactus. And he said, no, I had just sold it to somebody. And the guy goes, I'm not selling it. So I said, you got a Fin Fang Foom? And he goes, I do. And he had it still in the box. It was the original one that came out, I think, 2014, maybe. And it's in the back of my car. My wife is currently in England, so I will be putting it together tonight, and then I will quickly hide it somewhere in the house. We don't want it to turn into the Batmobile.
What has life gone to? Yeah, no one.
Other people have secret affairs they hide from their significant other. Some people have alcohol problems and drug problems that they hide. Some people are into weird shit. I'm hiding a Fin Fang Foom. So what does that tell you about me?
Yeah. I know, huh? Nice. And think about, wait, me and Mitch don't drink, we don't do drugs, we don't do any of that stuff. And we try to pride ourselves that we're not addicted to anything. But we're just as big drug addicts on this crap than we are anything else.
Because you demanded it. That's right. If you listen to one podcast this year, this is it, True Believer.
Ooh.
Don't you like that? I was thinking about stuff. If you could only go to one Comic-Con, only go to the terrific one. Ba-boom. All right. We could do the best of or the worst of. Which one would you want to go with? Because I think the worst of is more fun than the best of.
Yeah, a little bit of both.
All right. Starting off the 100th episode here, we're going to go into what was the best fight that you and I had, to your recollection, on this show in 2 years when we both were, as Scott Martin says, sometimes it's funnier when we both agree on something, but we're both coming at it from the wrong point of view and we end up screaming at each other.
I don't really know. Do you have?
We fought on this show. We fought off the air, more likely.
My biggest gripe with you is how you read your comic books, and you sometimes put out little. I mean, there's something about you laying on the floor like a big beach whale baby, and it would type like Baby Huey, and it still pisses me. It actually disgusts me a little bit. Like, I mean, get up, sit on the chair.
Nah, whatever. I'm gonna say, okay, fine. You don't like the way I read comics. I don't like the way you take gifts from our fans and you flip them on your flea market. I gotta let people know this. Sometimes people send us gifts, which is very nice of you, and I appreciate it. And I'm still looking for some more stuff out there. I never got the Entertainment Weekly with Mantis on it. And
your birth certificate on sale at my shop too, Mitch. You gotta be careful.
So I know. So one day, John's I'm walking the dog, Harley, and he calls up. He goes, "Oh, I just got a beautiful gift from one of our fans." I go, "What is it?" He goes, "The guy knows I like the Hulk. He sent me a little plastic Hulk bowl." I said, "So what'd you do? Sell it at the random flea market booth A89 and 90 for $10? He goes, "How did you know?"
So. That was the exact price I put on it, too.
Anyway, so that's not a fight.
I'm in the hospital right now, so Mitch, keep it on the down low. He's probably going to put him on cardiac arrest.
Stop. All right, so it's not really a fight. I would say the worst episode, I have to think. Oh, there's been a lot of them, actually. Reasons worst episode, sometimes it's audio. Some of the earlier episodes, it sounded like a tin can with a string attached trying to get a hold of you.
We
got it worked out. Right? And people don't know this, but every week I take my phone and I actually drop it in a glass. And I put the mic on top of that, so hopefully it echoes and you get a better sound from that. See? That's a little high-tech technology there. Yeah, see, you didn't know that. What was I saying? Worst episode ever. Oh my god, there's so many to choose from. I would say when I had the breakdown about The Last Jedi.
Oh, and you had to go to, I had to put on my psychiatrist cap on?
Yeah. And it's so funny because now that it's been months, so many people have come out and said that The Last Jedi is the biggest pile of crap they've ever seen in their life. So,
yeah, that was pre-Solo, though, right?
Yeah, well, no, Solo's not a bad movie. It's just the fact that it came out only literally, 5 months after The Last Jedi came out. And then The Last Jedi just came out on DVD like 2 months ago. And they've thrown another Star Wars movie down your face. So, yeah, it's got fatigue. It's not doing well, so.
Yeah, okay.
They blew it. They should have made this one come out in December. That way it would have given a good year cleansing, you know?
Yeah, see, to be honest, I don't really have a worst episode. Yeah, we had some technical problems, all this and that. But me and Mitchie always seem to, we ham it out. But let me, I can throw this one at you, Mitchie.
What's that?
What was my favorite episode? You want to know what my
favorite episode? Oh, I know. I let me tell you. Has it got to do with Roy?
No.
Oh, actually, really?
It has to do with Mitchie, me and Mitchie being intimate. I'm going to have to say,
easy now.
I got to admit, the Power Cosmic Record presents. I think we did a pretty good job on the 112 one.
Oh, the Hulk Thor one.
Yeah,
yeah, that was good. Yeah.
You know, there's something about the, you know, the, you know, we got, you know, I know it was a little difficult, you know.
Well, no, it was only, there was only two or three characters in it, so it was easier to do.
But the way you had the little effects, I mean, I'm going to be honest. When I listen to that, I sometimes never listen to an episode. Sometimes I can only handle me and your voice for so long, and I'll put it on. I'll be like, let me listen to this episode. I listen a little bit, and it's like, I can't take it. I hate both of these guys, and that's including me, too. But for some reason, I listened to that, the Power Records Presents, yeah, the Journey into Mystery 112, and the other one, Strange Tales Annual 2. But I just like, you know, it had a little charm to it, like, yeah. And it reminded me of the actual records when you went back and you put in, like, the background, like, yep, sounds, yep, of, like, the people. Yep. I liked how you did Thor's voice, and I did the Hulk. I think it worked. We had some good pizzazz.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think...
A little bit of charm.
I think the Spider-Man Human Torch one was hard to do because they both kind of sounded the same because they were supposed to be teenagers, so yeah, there really wasn't a unique voice to it. And the villain was the Fox, which was like, really?
Yeah, lame-o.
Oh, it's but up there.
I like
there.
How mean you did the different voices for, like, the people, the crowds. Like,
yeah, we had, the like, crowds. The best, the Spider-Man one, we had the music, but it was hard to do the music because it's on YouTube, but it has all the sound effects in it. So when you get that great 67 Spider-Man music, it's great to hear, but then you'll hear whoosh, whoosh, and you hear all those Spider-Man web things in it. So,
anyways. But there's charm.
There is charm in it. So hopefully when we get around doing the next one, it'll be just as good. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll have to pick a good
maybe
issue.
We'll do Submariner versus the Hulk.
Ooh.
That's a good one. I had that one as a kid.
The Tales Astonish 100, that one?
Yeah, that was the very first comic I bought as an old comic as a kid. I saved it up, and it was at this...
Really?
Yeah, it was at his bookstore, and it was behind the counter for like $2 or $3, and I saved up, and I bought it. And I remember asking somebody, why did older books look yellow? And the guy, you know, like the paper aged. And somebody said, oh, it's because there was oil in the paper or something like this. And here's how stupid I am. You want to hear it? I actually filled a pie pan full of oil and I soaked the comic book in it to see if I could turn it yellow to make it look old.
Well, the reason why I'm not going to laugh at...
Okay, because I'm just saying that to me, I still remember doing that
before. Yeah, you told me that before.
Yeah. I was 23 years old.
Okay.
What's the stupidest thing you ever did with a book?
No. Can't say that on the air.
Did people know about how you ate a piece of the Hulk book?
Well, that thing. Okay.
Have we told that?
Yeah. Well, the very first big issue I ever bought was The Incredible Hulk number one, and I bought that at the Radisson. You want to know something? I think it was even a Jimmy Talbot show when Jimmy had brown hair than his Liberace white hair.
Yeah.
And it was the most expensive thing I ever bought. I mean, it was $1,500 at the time, and in the Overstreet Guide, it was $3,000 in mint condition. I'll never forget that. And I used all the money I had that I did landscaping that whole summer. So I even wish I never, that was a lot of money to me. But anyways, I was so crazy that I bought this thing that me and my friend, Paul, we went to his house and we started reading it, and we actually read it in different voices. You know, we had to read it, and I took a pic. And it was a little piece of the page, which it was the first time he was bombarded by gamma rays, because that had to be the most significant page.
Yeah.
And I ripped a little piece of that page and I ate it. And my friend Paul goes, why did you do that? I go, because if I die and this comic is no longer with me and whatever happens, the essence of the Incredible Hulk number one will die with me. And that's why, not to mention the tapeworms I probably got and all that. But I ended up selling that about 10 years later, and I sold it for a big $11,000. So that was, it kind of started me on my way. But yeah, that was a big deal. But yeah,
it sounds like the scene in that one of those Silence of the Lambs movie where the guy eats the painting because he wants to transform into the dragon or something.
Okay. Okay, Mickey, what was your favorite episode?
Actually, I'm going to say the same thing, the Hulk versus Thor. I actually I listened to that one more times than I'd want to count.
Yeah, me too. I smile. Like I said, there's a certain, we captured that 60s or 70s 70 charm.
Power records, yeah. All right, let me look at my list here, because I wrote stuff down, so let's not, I don't want to waste any. Best topic, best mistake. No, best fight. Best interview. We've actually had some people on the show. We've had Roy. We've had Paul Kupperberg. We had Joe Caramagna a couple times. We've had Chris Giarrusso once or twice, very briefly. We've had Ordway was on the show once, going to the movies. Who else have we? Oh, we had Kenny. We had Kenny Lawrence. We talked to Crazy Kenny.
Surprise.
Who else has been on the show?
Keith
Gleason's been on. Yeah.
Jimmy Talbot, was he on there?
Real brief in the background saying, "Get that away from me." I don't know. We've had some freaks on the show. I don't know. You're going to say having Roy Thomas review an Avengers movie was the best one.
Well, I have to throw this out there. I had a lot of happiness.
Matt Herring was on once or twice.
Yes, Matt Herring.
Scott Martin was on.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with Kupperberg because he is so vicious and he's so visceral. I like that type of humor. So it's like he's got like the toilet bowl humor, and he's just so blunt. I do enjoy that.
I just talked to him last week for about an hour. He still cracks me up. In fact, I just posted one of the panels that I came up with for this year's Terrificon. It's going to be Toy Stories, a look at the classic comics based on toys, particularly He-Man, written by Paul Kupperberg, Superpowers, written by Paul Kupperberg, and then, of course, Larry Hama for G.I. Joe and Michael Golden for the Micronauts. So I was like, you know what? I got all these guys there. Tons of people like myself read those comics that were based on toys. Why not ask the guys, you know, what it was like? How hard was it? Did they enjoy writing licensed products and stuff? So I think that, I don't know, I think it'd be interesting. Who knows?
Oh, absolutely. And that's a thinking out of the box, Mitchie.
Yeah, I know, because too many of these other cons basically suck shit. And I'm not one of those cons, and I know what the hell people want. So anyway, and then I'm going to do a one on Mego toys. So it might be, maybe I combine the Mego one with this one, or that's you and Art Balthazar doing your own.
Got to put that on Sunday, though, Mitchie. Sunday.
Yes, I know. All right, so I think we answered that one. I don't even know what the question was. Okay, let's do some of the worst ones. The worst ones. Worst comic book we've ever talked about on this show. What's your most vile, reprehensible, the thought of this comic book makes you want to throw up. What is that book?
I mean, there's so many. There's so much bad stuff out there. I think for me, I must have, you know, it's all that 90s stuff. But for me, the number one worst thing that affected me personally and emotionally, I have to say Peter David's Hulk. When Peter David took over the Hulk in the 90s, it was okay for a little bit. But then when he made the Professor Hulk, and you remember they all merged together?
Yeah.
The Hulk was completely changed, like, of a character of what he was. The Hulk is a totally different character. So I know I always rant and rave, and I even got things on my blog, and I'm not so personally fond of Peter either. Yeah, but just when it comes to that, there's so much I hate, like a lot of that 90s fribble frabble.
Yeah.
But that, what he did to the Hulk and made him multiple personality disorder, shapeshifter, that for me is the worst of the worst, because it affected me. And I'll have to throw this one out too. I love him to death, but he actually stopped me from collecting comics, which was Kurt Busiek. And I didn't tell him when we were talking at dinner and at the panel. I never told him this because people should know, let me throw this out there, that when I was a little kid, Kurt Busiek used to work at the McDonald's I used to go to every Sunday, like, you know, after church or with my parents and my brother, and he would be flipping burgers or working the cash register. And so when I saw him at Terrific Con. What was it, last year? Yeah, it was last year. I said to him, I was like, Kurt, I haven't seen you in like 30 years, and he has no idea who I am. And I was like, you used to flip burgers at the McDonald's, and it was funny. And at the end of the night when he was saying bye to everybody, I said, go get me a Big Mac and extra cheese. So I stole that out. But
he must have loved that. He must have loved
it. Yeah, but back in 2003, when he wrote that the JLA versus the Avengers, and he had Superman beat Thor. That was okay, but he didn't have Captain America beat Batman. And I was like, why would you make one beat the other and not the, you know, that bothered me. And that stopped me from collecting comics. That was the final nail in the coffin. Mm.
Well, so sorry, I was just yawning. Let me just tell you, the worst, my worst comic book, that, and people are going to be like, oh my God, it's heresy. Ready? The Watchmen. I hate The Watchmen. I can't stand the book. I never got into that. No, I remember buying it when it came out of the newsstands. I followed it up to issue 7, and then I gave up. I was like, why am I reading this? I mean, the 9-panel frames that he was copying Ditko, Dave Gibbons was copying Ditko, and the whole thing, they were based on Charlton characters, and, you know, Charlton wasn't the greatest thing in the world. I just never been a fan. I've seen the movie. I've read the comic. I've read the various adaptations, the before Watchmen stuff, all that. Never a fan. I know people revere it. It's all respected and all that, but I could care less. Revere, what did I say? Revered?
Take a left. Take a left at the corner, pal.
That's my worst comment. I just don't get it. I mean, I loved all the books in the 80s, everything that was big. The Dark Knight Returns, the Daredevil books by Frank Miller, The Crisis, all those great books that came out in the 80s, which was like the golden age of comics, really. And nothing. I cannot stand that Watchmen. When I see it, I go, ugh.
I was really young, and I remember the Watchmen's on the shelf. Like, I remember them coming out, and I never cared because I was so young, but I didn't like the DC stuff. But yeah, I see, the reason why I think I enjoyed the Watchmen is I didn't read it till college, when I was in college.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, see, you know what? Because I remember that coming out around the same time as like Kraven's Last Hunt and things like that. Those were books. I remember. I had to go to work at Milford High Line. That's where I was working, which High Line, you don't know, is like a, I think it's Spanish handball. I don't even know where that came from, but it is from Spain, whatever. And a region of Spain called the Basque region. That's where a lot of these guys came from. So I was working there as an usher. And before I went to work, I remember going to get my comics. I think it was called Whirligig Comics in New Haven, and I picked it up, and it was Kraven's Last Hunt. I was so obsessed to find out what happened with Spider-Man because they buried him alive. I'm in the car reading it, and I got to go to work. But that was, you know, see, that's when comics were magic, you know. You couldn't wait. Like when the Death of the Phoenix, I remember me and my friend, we drove after school. We begged our parents to take us to get the comic because it came out that Wednesday, just to see what happened to Jean Grey. I mean, those were event books, you know?
Well, I think they were great, too, in a sense. I mean, obviously, I was way too young to really enjoy that stuff and get the drama out of it. I just loved it because it was Spider-Man, and I liked it because it was the Hulk. But there was no internet or anything to spoil
no.
it. Really
no, there was no spoiling. Nope.
Yeah, and you did not know what happened. And if you missed an issue, you were dead. It was like a commercial or a cartoon. If you missed that episode, you're never going to see that again.
All right, I'm going down my list here. I'm wondering why I even bothered writing it down. Let's talk about other shows that we don't like. What's the worst podcast you ever heard?
Secret
Identity. No.
The worst podcast I ever heard. That Scott Martin one-man show, like, thing, that's kind
that
of...
That was pretty funny. He's got some good production quality in there.
Kidding. Could you classify Gamma Base Auctions as a horrible podcast?
No, stop picking on Tucky. I will not, without naming names, and I'm not going to insult anybody. There are some podcasts. There's actually some comic book podcasts, and it's not one that
I'm going to say Carbonaro, Andy,
Selling Heroes, that video show.
Two special need.
Stop it.
Insane people. Like, oh my God.
All right. There was one. There was actually a podcast called Behind the Panels that was out of Australia that I used to listen to twice a week. It was on, and it was one of the best ones I've ever heard because they would review comics. It was really well done. And one day the host talks about how he had a depression and they went off the air for 6 months and they didn't come back for a while. And then they came back and I don't know what happened. He had a breakdown or something. And they did one episode and I swear to God, I think they went out back and smoked dope. Because for the next episode, one of the other guys just laughed the entire time. It was insane. He couldn't talk without going, and it's for an hour and a half. I'm so mad about that. How about the Mike and Ming podcast? We've been on the Mike and Ming podcast, the comic book men show.
See, the truth is, I never really listened to any of the other podcasts.
Oh, really?
I never did because...
You got a life. I understand.
No, yeah, but it's. I don't like to take this stuff with me, like in headphones and all that. I leave it at the laptop, and if I
See, I like him because I do a lot of driving around for the show. Right. I take the dog for a long walk every day, so I always put the earbuds on and I listen to these shows. So I love him, Kevin Smith. 2007, I started listening to podcasts and. He had
that, the Fat Man on Batman.
No, was way that? Before that, it was called Smodcast. It was him and his friend Scott Moser, and those were funny. And then you know who's really, really funny on the air is Walt Flanagan. Is hysterical. If you ever listen to his, Tell Him Steve Dave, him and that guy Brian Johnson, those are really funny. Cause they're just normal. They're like just talking and the things they say are out there. A lot of podcasts like radio shows, I got to turn them off after a while. You know, you'll listen to a morning show for a while and then you get sick of the hosts and you can't listen to them anymore. And then you take a break. Then you come back a year later. It's okay. But anyway, that's the worst podcast was the one I heard where the two guys were laughing the entire time. Couldn't stand it. This comes from a man who's on an Indiana Jones podcast for almost 11 years now. So,
and oh my God, you guys are like pulling teeth now. Like,
Well, they're making that movie. It's coming soon. Okay, what else do I have here? Worst comic book. Worst action figure you ever got that you wanted so bad as a kid, and then when you got it, it was a piece of shit.
That's a good freaking question. The worst one?
Yeah.
Because
you got a lot of wrestling toys and He-Man. I was not into all that.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, but you got to remember, we have like a 10-year difference.
Yeah.
You had the great stuff. I mean,
I'll tell you which one was the worst in my mind. It was called The Intruder. It was supposed to be an alien that had invaded the world of G.I. Joe. This is when the G.I. Joes were 12 inches. And it was this little, almost like Ulick the Troll looking little short guy, and he was like an alien. It was called The Intruder, and it looked like Jack Kirby must have drawn the designs for it.
No, they had a comic of it in the back.
Really?
It was John Romita, I think. That I never got to see the figure because that was.
Oh no, I had the figure, man.
No, I know, but the ad for it was a comic. It was a comic story.
It was like The Intruder lands, and G.I. Joe has to go beat him up out in the woods or something.
Right, exactly, and that's drawn by Romita. That's Romita.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But no, that figure to me, because I think maybe I read the comic and your mind creates this whole story about how great it's going to be, kind of like The Last Jedi. And then when you go to see it, you're like, that's it? That's all it is? So,
Mitch, I got it. I got it in my head. The worst figure had to be the Mongoloid? Oh, no, I don't know.
What did you just say?
No, I know. It's
don't say that. That's not.
No, this is a real figure.
It wasn't called that.
No, it wasn't. It was. I know. I'm saying it wrong. Frick.
What was it? What toy line?
Manglore. The Manglore figures. Do you remember those? Okay, they came in an egg, but what they said is that like you could rip it and put it back together, and it was the most horrendously.
Wait, the Mangler? Is that what you're saying?
Mangler figure.
I'm looking that up. Go ahead, keep talking.
G-L-O-R, the Mangler figure. He looked almost like they almost look like the Swamp Thing. Yeah. Manglers.
Okay.
Okay, and do you see how?
No, then I have M-A-N-G. Mangalore?
M-O-R.
There's nothing here. Mangalore toy?
Why am I not?
A mangle, like you mangled something?
No. Why can't I think?
Mangle action figure. There's something.
No. There.
Yes, I just found something. Well, no, that can't be it because that's modern days.
Wow.
I don't know what you. Maybe you made this up.
No, I remember. It was in the 80s.
I had the Mangler, which was a weird Mego toy thing that it looked like a little. You put the toy in and you turn a crank and it came out flat as a board.
No, that was awesome. That's expensive now, too. That's from Mego.
Everything's expensive because we played with the damn things. We broke them. That's why. Ugh.
I love that because you punched the Green Goblin into the.
Yes. Yeah. And he came out as a flat toy. Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome.
I'm looking at. That's the Mangler. Oh, there it is. I want that so bad. There's the box of the Mangler. Look at that. Makes me want to cry. $4.38 is the price tag on this thing. It's on the Mego Museum website. That was a beautiful toy. There's Spider-Man punching him. Look at that. That's when you had to have an imagination.
Yeah, and it came with the little, those were the comic action figures.
We still don't know what the hell you're talking about, though.
No, I'm looking for it, and for some reason I can't find it.
All right, well, the worst toy ever. You know what was also bad? You have this still. Oh, there he is. I just found the intruder. He kind of looks like a weird version of Scott Tucky.
Well, yeah.
I had that thing. What a freakishly. He's got a head of a gorilla.
Yeah, Scott Tucky's a little bit more scary.
No, he almost has the body of a Stretch Armstrong, but he does not stretch. Oh, my God, there it is, the Adventure Team. Oh, sad, Mitchie. I had all those. Eagle Eye, G.I. Joe, Atomic Man. Bullet. I had Bullet Man, who looks like a marital toy. And then the intruders. There was more than one. Atomic Man was their version of a cheap version of the $6 million man. You know that?
Yeah, I know that.
There's the comic. Look, I did not know there was a comic. Look at that. The Intruders, Strong Men from Another World.
And doesn't he get beaten up by the G.I. Joe?
He does. Look at that. God bless my mom. She used to buy me all this stuff. I don't know how she got the money for it all, but we had all this shit.
Yeah, but I have to admit, Mitch, you grew up in such a great era. Like, that for me was, I was too young or wasn't born, but that was the best influx.
Oh, what the hell is this? What is Gore King of Terron's action figure? Was that part of the G.I. Joe line? It's like a green lizard guy. What is this? I don't know.
Yeah, I got it. Mangler. M-A-N-G-L-O-R. The Manglers.
And what were they supposed to be? It sounds like a singing group.
No, they were horrible because it looked like the Swamp Thing, but they were like these spongy guys that, like, you could get like a dinosaur. They were all different versions, but I like the one, the actual Mangler. They came in these eggs,
yeah.
And they say you can stretch it or rip it, and it comes back together.
Oh, I remember. They came in an egg. Yes. Somehow I remember that. I don't know
but
why.
But the truth is once you ripped it,
you're
it
done. Broke.
You literally ripped your toy. It was such bad. It was so bad. That was such a disappointment. I hated that.
No. Look at that. I'm looking at Mike Power, Action Man, Atomic Man, G.I. Joe. Somebody keeps calling me. Don't they realize we have stuff to do? Stop calling me. Yeah.
That was the worst toy. It was such a letdown.
All right. So, okay, worst toy, worst comic book, worst movie, Last Jedi. Worst podcast. I'm going down the worst list here. Worst TV show ever. Worst superhero cartoon show ever.
I hate anything pre. I'm from the 80s back, and anything beyond that, I don't like. Except other than the Batman, the DC stuff. Like, I hated that Teen Titans Go.
I never got it. I tried getting my kids into that. I just couldn't. You know?
But my daughter loved it, but I'm not into the anime stuff. I don't really like anime and that kind of stuff. The move's too fast for me. Too fast.
Calling. I have a guest coming from that show, Teen Titans Go. The kid that plays Beast Boy.
I mean, it was popular and stuff, but I just never got. I never got into that. I'm a 70s, 80s, 60s guy.
Yeah. Oh, there's some. Oh, by the way, I got to tell you, on Amazon Prime, it's one of these things. I have so many channels, I don't even watch this stuff. But I happened to notice the other day, they have brand new versions of Sigmund and the Sea Monsters. And
What's that?
You don't know what Sigmund and the Sea Monsters is?
No.
Oh, my God. It was a Sid and Marty Krofft show about these little kids. Johnny Whitaker, I think his name was. Him and his little brother, they live down by the beach in Santa Monica or Santa Barbara. God damn it, who keeps calling me? And they find a little sea monster. He's there, and they take him. His name is Sigmund. And then he's got a whole family. But the family, for some odd reason, was they were like the all in the family. But they were sea monsters.
It sounds like you're describing Flipper. It's not Flipper.
No, Flipper was the dolphin. Flipper was a dolphin. That was a fish. You never saw Sigmund and the Sea Monster. You never saw. I used to watch that every week.
No, I don't know.
You gotta go watch Sigmund and the Sea Monsters. Don't watch the new version. Go find it. Go find it.
Okay, but
they had Bigfoot. You know who Bigfoot and Wild Boy is? You don't know Bigfoot and Wild Boy?
No.
Electro Woman and Power Girl.
Are you talking?
These were live-action comic books that were on the Sid and Marty Krofft Action Hour, and they had Bigfoot and Wild Boy, which is about a guy who was raised by a Bigfoot, and they lived in the woods. That was one of the greatest shows ever. It's all live-action.
And was it like Adventure Island and all that stuff? Like on the
Billy...
They had those segments of like live action.
Yeah. Billy Barty. This was like late 70s, so you weren't even born yet. So... Or were, but I don't know what the hell you were doing. You were playing with your stretch.
I don't, Mitch.
Dino Woman. There was one with a speed buggy. Wonder Bug. No? It was about a dune buggy that could talk. It was like Wonder Bug.
It's not a cartoon. It was live action.
These are live action. And Billy Barty was on. He was a little dwarf midget actor, or whatever they called him back then. And, he was always like the go-to guy. Whenever they needed a mad scientist that was
again?
A dwarf.
What was it called again?
The City Marty Krofft Adventure Hour or Action Hour? No? Anyway, that was something. Sid and Marty Krofft were very strange drug addict puppeteers, and you would watch some H.R. Puffin stuff, and you know, it was like reading some of those early Jim Starlin comics. You just didn't feel right afterwards because you didn't realize the guy that wrote it was on LSD. Because you were just a child, you know.
Okay, let me see. I'm seeing it. The Sid and Marty Krofft show, right?
Is it called the Action Hour?
The Sid and Marty, the world of Sid and Marty Krofft. I mean, this looks like to be the Mitch. I don't. This is new to me. Okay. That is that the Puffin Stuff guy?
Yeah, like, Puffin Stuff was one of them. That was in the 70s, but in the later 70s, they had. Like comic book shows.
Oh, yeah, like Sigmund and the Sea Monster.
Yeah, that was one. But then Bigfoot and Wild Boy was a good one. It's like Lucan. You ever watch Lucan the Wolf Boy?
Yeah. Okay.
Wait. You saw Lucan the Wolf Boy?
No, I didn't see it.
That was a TV show. It was about a guy raised by wolves.
Okay.
That's based on the true story of Scott Martin. Did you know that?
Which one?
Lucan the Wolf Boy.
It's
about a kid that was abandoned in the woods and raised by wolves, and he grows up, and he's part wolf. Lucan, Lucan.
Okay, Jesus, I don't.
There's a whole world of TV shows you never saw. Exo Man, which was like a cheap version of Iron Man with Peter Aykroyd,
who's
not related to Dan Aykroyd. Yeah, it's around the same time as that shitty Doctor Strange.
You have to also remember, at this time I was so young, but I was so pro-superhero.
Exo Man.
Nothing else really.
There is a whole world of TV shows about superheroes that you never saw.
See the girl. What was the girl's name?
Dino Woman.
Yeah. I remember Land of the Lost.
Land of the Lost was on for years. Marshall, Will, and Holly. You just had me thinking of something about another Man from Atlantis. You never saw that show?
That's the guy from Dallas,
Patrick,
right?
Duffy. Yeah.
Yeah, the reason why I know, because they made a comic.
They did make a comic. It was a horrible comic. Frank Robbins did the art on it.
Okay, Mitch, I do remember these, but I never watched them. I never. Well, these were the former.
Just watch the Bigfoot and Wild Boy. That was the only good one.
Yeah, these guys were out of their minds. Like, this was a really psychedelia. Like, oh, okay, yeah, and who's that boy? He looks like looks like a little ape thing.
That's Chaka.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah.
Who I like to also think of as Frank Caz.
Yeah.
Chaka grew up to be Frank Caz.
I do remember these, but I never really watched that.
Anyway, they're all in the category as worst shows ever.
Yeah, I'm sure they're rough if you actually see them today.
Oh, even back then, it was like, what the hell?
But that's why McDonald's, the Big Mac.
Mayor McCheese and
they had the to cop. Cancel him because he looked like H&R Puff and stuff, right?
Right. They had to take that away because it was a ripoff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I watched a whole show the other day about Funko. The whole company and how they started with the bounce, the little wobbler things and stuff. And I got to tell you, I watched the Funko thing about how the guys made the Funko Pops and how they started and how they had fun. And they would show their annual meetings and they would like dress up as mad scientists and they would run around and it was just very, very fun. It wasn't just an annual reseller meeting. It looked like a convention. It was like a party. So then I watched the thing about Spielberg. As I'm working on the website the other day, I had the TV in the background. And they showed in the 70s, the house they all hung around. Ready? You had Spielberg, Lucas, Brian De Palma, Martin Scorsese, Francis Ford Coppola. Never before had you ever had so many men and women that were going to become the pillars.
That was like the Avengers of directors.
Yes. It was like the movie-making gods. And they're all hanging out at the beach. Who's drunk? Who's on drugs? Who's whatever? But they all knew each other. And it's so bizarre to sit there and go, wow, if you threw a bomb in that room, there goes the rest of the movies for the 20, 30 years. But they're all hanging out talking to each other. You know? And it's just so weird. And they all come up with these brilliant movies. Your Apocalypse Now, Star Wars, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Close Encounters, Taxi Driver, all that stuff. And they're all it almost is like the movie version of the bullpen, you know?
Yeah, that was like the...
When you had Kirby and Stan Lee and Gil Kane, all these legendary guys, and they're all around at one point in time. And you're like, oh my God, the future of comic books is all sitting in that room.
Well, Mitch, let me ask you this. Who became the most successful?
Out of what, the movie group?
Yeah.
You know, had to be Lucas, financially, right? Oh yeah, Lucas is without a doubt. Then probably Spielberg, and then after him, I'd say Coppola.
But Coppola's got to be the most respected, right?
Yeah, because he was older than those guys. You know, he was already established with the. But you got to understand how young they all are. Because Spielberg's like 20 years old making movies, and it was crazy. You know, the reason why I'm saying that is in my bizarre, egotistical way. But it's kind of true, though. You could relate to this. You and I get together. We got Keith Gleason. We had Matt Herring. We had Brian Letendry. We had Caramagna. We had Gio Russo at one point. All of those people. And Keith Gleason, I think I mentioned. But we all hang around and we all talk about what we like at comic book shows. Right? And what we like as fans and what we don't like. And all that kind of is the genesis of like what the Terrific Con. You got the reason why we have so much fun at these shows is like it's an annual get together of all our comic book reading buddies, right?
Yeah, it's like a fraternity. Like
it's like a class reunion. Exactly. There you go.
Yeah, and you want to know the truth. That's what I enjoy the most. That's why I like doing.
Oh yeah, no, I look forward to it. Yeah, yeah. Like, and then we get new people. They've come on board. We've got Scott Martin. We've got Stu Greenberg, whose birthday's today. You know? We got Chris.
That's basically what it is. Hey, listen. Me and you work pretty hard, but like we are very fortunate to be... We don't have to do anything else. Like, we live...
No, that's true. I sell sperm at the local sperm donor bank and blood every other Tuesday to make.
Don't you realize they give it back? Your wife doesn't tell you, but it gets sent back and the reject.
Yeah, I know. Stop. But no.
But that's
no. But what I'm trying to say is, all those people were getting together and they were all having fun, and they ended up making these great movies. We all get together, we all have fun, bullshitting and talking, and then we're sitting alongside Cooper Berg, Ordway. All these people that we grew up reading their books and stuff, and they're sitting along with us too, like, what the hell? They get together, they have fun, because these are all guys they worked with in the 70s and 80s. You know, Roy's sitting there talking to Joe Sinnott, or you know, Tom Palmer, and it's just a very weird energy that's formed when we all get together, and I think that's why people are drawn to the show and they really enjoy coming out every year. That's just my little thing.
It's not really just like, yeah, it is your business and all that stuff, but it's more also like I said, a fraternity.
It's like a big party, you know?
Yeah, party, exactly.
Yeah, for 3 days, because I've even had dealers go, oh, man, I look forward to your show all year. I go, why? They go, I have so much fun there. I go, well, aren't you there because you're selling books and toys? They go, yeah, that's part of it, but I do that every weekend of a show. But when I come to your show, it's literally like going to a carnival or a festival or something like that, because you just meet your old friends and you have fun, and maybe because they're pumping oxygen in.
Yeah, it's almost like an excuse to have fun too, and that's the whole point. And it's like, and that energy is felt amongst people. It's people having a good time. Like, let's be honest. You're not a promoter. That's not like you.
I ain't rich by any means. That's for sure.
No. But you're on the field. You're enjoying it. I mean, I know it's tough work. You're doing what you got to do, but you still, you know, enjoying it. A lot of promoters sometimes don't even show up.
No. Let me tell you, my dad was a construction worker, a bricklayer, a mason. So he used to work out in the hot sun when it was 100 and something degrees out, building buildings and stuff. That's work. That's a real job, you know?
But, oh, yeah.
You know, sitting around reading comic books, that's not a real job. But it's fun. It's fun. I enjoy every minute of it. Though not sometimes, you know, when the Mitch comes out, because I tell you, I go to comic book stores, or I was at a comic show this weekend and I just wanted to go shopping. I wanted to walk around and all I get is, hey, what guests you got coming? Hey, you should do this. Hey, you should do that. Yay, you should. I go, oh my God, I could see why Michael Jackson wore outfits when he went out in public. You can't go out sometimes because people just know you and they start asking you questions. You're like, look, I just want to go shopping. I just want to get some books. Leave me alone. Right?
The rooms.
Nah. It's all fun, but sometimes after 4 or 5 hours of it, I just want to just go in, buy my Hero Clicks, and go home. Right?
That's good stuff. Good stuff.
All right, well, we you know, the 100th episode here is going nuts. And your phone is breaking up. Best fan.
Oof, I hate them all. I mean, best fan.
Well, you got that stalker that sends you stuff. So.
No, okay. You know, let me see. First off, we only got a handful. So, I mean,
do have a handful. I can count on one hand.
One hand. Couple fingers. Best. I don't know, Mitchie. Why don't you answer that?
Oh, come on. Without a doubt, number one fan, Scott Martin. Come on. We know that. We love Scotty.
We basically sculpted.
When we found him in that basket on my doorstep with that little note.
Let's be honest. Yeah. I don't know how old Scott Martin is, but he's in his 50s, correct?
Maybe I would think he's close to it, yeah.
He was born. Like, he literally was finally born when the Power Cosmic was conceived.
Yeah.
The Power Cosmic podcast. So, his all those years prior, he was just a lost soul. And then when the Power Cosmic begun, all of a sudden, it was everything he needed to hatch. And now we created this monster.
He's kind of like those sea monkeys that, you know, they're that powder, but they don't come to life until you put that special water and you mix them up. And then voila. They're alive, which, by the way, is the most amazing thing I've ever thought of or saw as a kid, and to this day baffles my mind, that you have these freeze-dried living creatures waiting on store shelves to be hatched. Why is this not, like, done on a larger scale with, like, people?
Well, maybe the reason why it's not done is maybe there's some sort of, like, maybe those people that, like, I don't know, maybe it's like a hazard or health hazard.
But just think about it.
Must have drank that water. Like, I'm going to drink, you know, there's somebody out there from, like, maybe Tennessee or Nebraska.
That drank sea monkeys?
Yeah, they probably were like,
I'll tell you. Well,
the
freeze-dried thing always made me think there was a, you know, the Batman, the movie, the 1966 one with Adam West that we showed last year. Remember the Joker zaps all those guys and turns them into the piles of dust?
Oh, yeah.
That bothered me so much as a kid because I was like, oh, they disintegrated them. They cremated them. Oh, I was freaked out by that, but I know, can't even tell you. And then remember when they mix them all up at the end and they bring them back and they're all speaking different languages?
I do remember that.
That bothered me so much. So anyway, I think of that and I think of the sea monkeys because I'm like, maybe they could just zap people and make them into powder, put them on a shelf, and when you don't want to deal with them, you just put them away. And then maybe like later on, you miss that guy, you bring him out, you stir him up with some water.
Are you saying that's what we have to do to Scott Martin? Is that?
Yeah, no, I don't know how I got on that track. That's how the mind works, but... Yeah,
but no, but I hear you. I mean, I understand. I never saw the sea monkey thing.
I've had sea monkeys. Oh my God, my mom flipped out. My sister knocked over our sea monkey tank, which was like a plastic cup, and they went into the carpet. My mom, I don't know what was going on with her back then, but she called the Uncle Milton people who made the thing on the phone, hysterical, wanted to know if it was okay that they were like lost in our shag carpet. Because she was so worried that they were like alive, and they were like, I don't know what.
That was going to get into the sewer system and like become like this thing that's just like.
No, I gotta ask her. I remember that. I remember them falling over, spilling all over the shag carpet. We had green shag carpet, and she was just nuts. She was so worried about the damn sea monkeys. She called the company up and tried. And back then, you know. It was a long-distance phone call. She was like, I just want to ask you a question. We spilled the sea monkeys.
Did you have to feed them, Mitch?
Yeah. Oh, that's another story. Listen, they give you food, like powder food to give to the sea monkeys, okay? You just put in a little spoon of it, okay? You can't go to the store and buy sea monkey food when they run out. So now you're in a panic because these things are dependent on you, but their life cycle is going to come to an end because you're running out of food. So eventually, they would always end up starving to death. And years later, I had them in my office. My assistant had them in the art studio. And we ran out of food. And you have to mail away. This is the gimmick they get you. You got to mail a buck. And they mail you this little powder that you feed the sea monkeys with.
But it's dead by the time.
So listen. So we didn't mail it away. So we got nervous. So we went to the pet store. And we bought fish food. And we're like, oh, let's buy this stuff. And it's these little tiny little bits of fish food, little shrimp. It turns out to be that the shrimp that they put in fish food is actually sea monkeys. They're brine shrimp. They're baby shrimp. We were feeding them their own kind.
You made them cannibals.
Like cannibals. So, but I always thought about my mom when she was worried about that one sea monkey. Because we had a real big sea monkey. It didn't wear the little boxing gloves or the top hat like they showed you on the package. No. It was just like a little worm thing. I often thought, what if it just got exposed to radiation and we came home one day and there was this big ass thing sitting on the couch like, bleh. Whatever. Ate the dog.
See, yeah, I'm...
Super elastic bubble plastic, buddy. That's all I got to say to you. By Wham-O.
By Wham-O.
Do you know Wham-O? Do you remember those toys?
You know what I had? I had the Zim Zam when I was a kid. You remember that?
Zim Zam?
Yeah, you had the ball. It came with the little rackets. And you try to, and if you could get the tennis ball, your friend would try to get it down and you would try to get it up. It was almost like
It was supposed to float. Remember that?
And remember the commercial?
It made it look like it was doing loops. It was like special effects. You're like, oh my God, it never did that when you owned it.
And they would say Gazoo not included. I think it was by Wham-O. Yeah. But can I tell you a quick story?
I think you already did.
But wait. There's a kid up the street. His name was Brian. He was a few years younger than me.
Hey, is that the guy who you stole his Hulk from?
No, not him. Not him. That was another kid. But so he was playing Zim Zam. He was playing a girl that was in our neighborhood, and he kept losing because he couldn't serve. So I said to him, "No, let me serve for you so I can show you." And I wanted to hit this thing so hard so he could win. So I hit it with all my might, and all they hear is ka-plunk. I turn around, and I hit his teeth. I knocked out all his teeth with the racket, and he was like, we both looked at each other, and then he goes, wah! Like, he started screaming. His father never let him come back to my house ever again.
Wow.
And that was like in the early 80s. So that's why I'll never forget that. I knocked all his front teeth, all four of them.
Oh, I can see that being a problem. My sister almost killed me. As a child, my sister Debbie, my oldest sister, Debbie tried to kill me with a kerplunk. Do you know what kerplunk was?
No. Is that that?
It's like a cylinder, and you put these pointy sticks
in there, right?
Yeah, and you got marbles, and you pull them out, and then, you know, you try not to drop the marbles. Okay. Her version of the story is she was playing with our cat, Tonika. Don't know why they named it Tonika. I was a child. So I turned my head, my right eardrum, my Christ, I had that effing kerplunk stick. It was like a pickup stick. It was like a long plastic dart shoved into my eardrum. I ran around the house screaming. What does she do? She pulls it out like that.
Really?
And I have a punctured eardrum because of that. So I go to bed. I think everything's fine. I wake up, my entire... must have been Debbie's pillow. It was the Wizard of Oz pillowcase. There's blood all over the Wizard of Oz. The Tin Man's bleeding. Because my ear, what happened is, it was a puncture wound, but when I went to go to bed at night, I put my head down, so all the blood built up on that side and had to come out. So I had to go to the hospital, and I had a punctured eardrum, and I had to wear a cotton ball on my effing ear, and I couldn't go in the pool that summer. Stupid. You might have scratched my brain. I don't know. I often thought about that. What if it went in too deep and I could have been like a genius and now I'm like lobotomized talking to you?
Could have been. There were good games from the 70s and all that stuff, too.
Oh, yeah, there was skee ball and all that kind of fun stuff.
What was that one with the marbles and like you would pull these things? And
Rebound?
No, and the marbles, you want them to fall. I had that when I was a kid.
I think that was Kerplunk.
No, kerplunk was the sticks, and then you put them in that container, and then the marbles.
I found that Red Baron game. Did I show you that picture I found? I put it on Facebook.
Yeah, I like that. I love all that stuff.
Yeah, they had some cool games back then because there was no video games. They had to be creative with the games we had, so we actually had some pretty cool games back then.
And Milton.
Milton Bradley, which is in Springfield, right?
It was in Springfield, and now it's in Beverly, like close to, it's still close to me.
It's in Beverly now?
Yeah, it's Milton Bradley, if it's still called that. It's near Gloucester, so it's...
Yeah,
it's,
I know, that's where my son went to school up there, near Endicott.
Endicott.
Near Danvers.
Because a girlfriend I used to have, her aunt used to work there, but there's a lot of toys, like, manufactured around here.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty... Look at Lemonster was the blow mold stuff. All that.
Well, Wiffle Ball is right down the street from me in Shelby, really? Connecticut, the Wiffle Ball factory. And Pez, which I'm going there tomorrow because they're a loyal supporter of Terrificon, they're in Orange, Connecticut. So...
Yeah, so you, when you're young, you don't know. Things are so far away because you don't know. But when Silly Putty was good.
Smith Brinney or something like that.
That made that, the company?
Yeah.
That
company? We had that big talk the other day about the Ideal Toy Company. Or what was the AFSCO, the one that made that Marvel thing that you called me screaming about?
Oh, yeah. Well, AFSCO was that was a division of Milton
Bradley. And Mego was in Long Island, right?
Yeah. And they were on the take.
Mego, we're going to have to talk about that at Terrificon because that's like the godfather. If the Goodfellas didn't go into stealing and robbing people with guns, they could have become toy dealers, and they were Mego, basically.
Oh. And really quick, do you know how the name Mego came about?
Something about Mego, like me go to the bathroom, maybe?
Yeah, no, well, Marty, it was Marty Abrams' father, the guy that when they were young, but his brother, when they were going to go, when they were leaving, his father was leaving, he'd always say, Mego, because he wanted to go too.
Like, really? That's how it came about?
And so they named it Mego Corporation, yeah. So.
Well, I can't believe I wasted this piece of cardboard. Best topic. Bet we have what's the best topic when we used to throw that out there? You seem to like when I just mentioned random toys or comics.
Mitch, our ADD is awesome because we go everywhere. That's what this is, a cornucopia 100th episode.
It is a cornucopia. All right, let me.
Me and Mitchie's deepest, darkest secrets.
We do about the Catholic school, Sister Marie Antoinette. It's also been very cathartic. It's helped me instead of going to a psychologist or a psychiatrist, I just come on this show and I talk about all the nightmares I have. So I didn't talk about my colonoscopy that didn't happen.
Yeah, because I
threw up the prep and I couldn't stop throwing up that day because you say because I'm trying to cover up for some deep rooted psychological incident that happened at this church. But we won't go there.
Yeah, but who doesn't go to sleep? Mitch wants to be awake, so what? You can, because like
I want to be there. I want to watch them put the tube up my ass with the camera, so nothing goes wrong.
Well,
you want to be knocked out for that.
Well, all I know, Mitch.
All we call that is a typical Saturday night.
Because they want to. Mitch is like legs all spread out with some like things all. Oh my God! Can you imagine that? That's like.
I started worrying about the sanitary conditions. How do I know that thing's clean?
Mitch, how do you know you aren't? I mean, like, I'm worried more about the poor people. Oh, my God. Just like, can you let me go in there and
film? No, my wife told me, why don't I just record the podcast? Why they're putting the thing up my ass? She says, call Cimino, see if they'll allow you to bring your phone in there. And call Cimino and record it the entire time they're giving you the colonoscopy.
And you're like, here we are on the power, but I blocked that!
The power colonoscopy.
I think that would be great. If you can do it, do it.
Well, we'll see. I got to reschedule it for after Terrificon because it's too much going on. It's too much. Too much. I can't be worried about the show and worried about a camera up my ass.
All right, Mitch.
I think we've gone where no man has gone before on this show. Talking about my sphincter.
But listen, believe me, that's where nobody wants to go. All right.
Are we done? It's been an hour. I think that's a good enough.
But it's an extra, an extra.
Yeah, because it's the 100th episode. Though technically Scott Martin had to go check and he goes, there's only 98 episodes. One episode I took down because the audio was so bad. That's like one of the earlier ones. You couldn't hear it at all. You sounded like you were in freaking Toledo the whole time. And then there's another episode that was up, but I accidentally deleted. But it is the 100th episode, so don't give me crap that it's
which
not.
Which one got deleted?
Oh. I think I deleted the drug episode. We once did an episode where we talked about which comic book artists and writers did we think were on drugs when they wrote those stories because they were so out there.
Oh, okay.
That was with Englehart and Starlin and Bill Sienkiewicz. We were like, what were they on when they did this one? You know? Or Jack Kirby, or Stan, but I don't think that one ever aired. I don't know what happened.
So we made it to 100, and Mitch.
Can we not do these anymore now, or what?
We're slaves.
Actually, it was always supposed to be devised as a soft sell commercial for Terrificon at Mohegan Sun, but it turned into something else.
Yeah, it became its own monster.
We actually get more listeners every week. I don't know why.
Well, it's like we share this universe, Mitch. People like the Ballot Cast.
It's like a barbershop for bald guys. They don't. They wouldn't. What else are they gonna do there? Because I've seen bald guys at barbershops, and they just sit there all day and talk. I go, what the hell is this guy here for? You know.
Yeah, and they talk about the weather.
Oh yeah. Speaking of which, I have to go because I'm meeting Jerry Ordway for lunch today. And Jerry's going to tell me his conspiracy theories. And then I got enough stuff going on. But that's what a typical day is. And then I got a Comic-Con coming up. I'll be at Eternal Con wandering the streets.
Wait. We got to just say, is the worst episode that episode where you were with Ordway because you refused to ever just go do an episode with just him anymore because it was rough?
Wasn't that the time you switched over to DC and I banned you from the show?
No, because you were with him in the car. Remember, we had that snowstorm. I couldn't go with you.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You couldn't make the show, and I got to go meet Gal Gadot, and you didn't go.
Yeah. And I was supposed to come, but, like, once again, I mean, there was a huge snowstorm, and you were like, I got to go with Ordway. And I was like,
actually, you know what? Cuppy and I recorded one on the way to Plastic City. He was going to do a podcast, but he yelled at me so much after the show was over because he said, you never shut up. You never let me talk. I can't use it. So he never used it.
Oh, well, I'm surprised. Yeah, because we're a battle of egos.
Oh, you know? God, yeah. Oh, my God. If somebody listens to this, they go, these two guys are fighting for oxygen. They're both talking at the same time.
Love it.
You know who's worse? Put Matt Herron in a room with me.
That'll turn into a physical.
It's like Thunderdome. There could only be one, or whatever that is, Highlander.
That's what it is.
But, should we tell people where we get the closing from? Secrets revealed in the 100th episode.
Which you actually said to Kevin Smith. Remember that when you guys were in the...
When I almost killed him.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mitch. Say it.
In the film Goodfellas, when Joe Pesci's character, Tommy... I think he's Tommy. Tommy? Yeah. So he's about to become a made man. And it's not, because actually they're going to kill him because he killed, Billy Batts?
He did a lot of, among other things.
Yeah. What happened is he killed a made guy, and you can't do that. He wasn't under any orders. So they lied to him, and they told him that he's going to become a made guy, which means you can't touch him. He's one of the family. He's one of them. So there was a setup. So what happens is he gets all dressed up. He wears his suit. He thinks he's going to go to the initiation where they burn the picture of a saint and all that jazz, and you pledge your undying love to the mafia, whatever. So he opens the door, and there's nobody in the room, and there's just a big plastic bag on the floor because they're going to kill him. And he goes, oh, shit. And they shoot him, and they shoot him in the face so his mother couldn't have an open casket. So when he's lying on the ground bleeding out, you know? And the two Italian guys, they go, and that's that.
Yeah,
just that's what it is. It's like, okay, we just killed the guy, and that's that. We're gonna go get some coffee now. So, and that's where it comes from.
Yeah, and that's where it comes, and that's what we had it.
But you wanted to change it to bring me Thanos.
Oh no, I think you said that.
You said that should be our closer.
No, I was saying it, and then you asked me, should we change that? And I think we were gonna, but I like that's that.
Yeah, because Make Mine Marvel, that's lame, and see same Bat Channel, that's stupid. You know, what other sign-offs? There are none.
Let's go with the mafioso, because, you know, behind closed doors, maybe me or you would put a
bullet. Oh, because I know that's going to be the last words I hear someday when I'm out there walking the dog, and I'm like, hey, wait a minute, isn't that some of the other con promoters out there? And then, poof, poof.
And the funny thing, it might be me that pulled the trigger.
I'll be like, John, what are you doing here in the middle of the woods? And you just pull a gun out, and that's that.
That's that. Mitch gets kicked in a ditch, and it's over.
And Scott Martin will find my murderer.
No, then it's like, where's Mitch? I went away. Went away with his girlfriend.
He had to go somewhere. My dad had friends that disappeared. That's another story.
And you never mention his name again. That's the big thing.
Oh, you know? Can't talk about that.
You just never mention him
again. He had to go. That's all.
Yeah, he had to go.
You gotta go. I gotta go too. Literally, I have to go to the bathroom. I have to go get out of here.
And what, Mitch? You say it on the 100th episode.
And that's. Come on, you do the other half. We'll do it together. Okay. Come on, one, okay. Two, three, and that's
that.
This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing LLC. The folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.